Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
My name is Danielle Vogel, and you are listening to Everyday Enviro on Full Service Radio. We're going to have a little bit of a different show for you today. Typically, we spend our time together talking about small behavioral changes you can make to minimize your personal carbon footprint, like buying used clothing, or choosing organic at the grocery store, or maybe starting a home composting practice. But today of days is Earth Day. So, it being the six-year anniversary of the day we opened the doors to Glen's Garden Market, I decided that for our Earth Day show, we would be exploring the origin story of Glen's. So grab a glass of red wine. It's 1 o'clock on Monday. Let's do this and sit back and relax. I'm going to tell you the story of how Glen's Garden Market came to be. So the day my parents told us they were getting divorced, my mother piled me and my two sisters into the car and we headed for the closest law school. We followed her into the dean's office like three little ducklings. "I'm here to enroll," she declared. "Who are you?" he asked. "Well, I may not have actually applied to your school, but I've never lost an argument. I know I'd make a great attorney," she said. God help us all, he let her in. After that day, there was a saying in my house. It was, "Girls, you can be whatever you want when you grow up, after your federal clerkships." But the problem was, I didn't want to be a litigator. I wanted to be a legislator. After college, I headed straight to Washington to work for my hometown congressman, Christopher Shays, who also happens to be my hero. I advised him on domestic policy issues with a focus on the environment. I had become obsessed with climate change and felt an extreme sense of urgency to inspire legislative action. I thought Congress was the group best positioned to make real change. Man, was I naive. Anyways, I spent years on the Hill trying and failing. Then I finally realized something. No matter how well-researched my advice to my boss was, if he intersected with a lawyer on the way to a vote, my opinion no longer mattered. So that made something really clear. I needed to go to law school. I was eager to get back to the Hill, so I jammed it out in 2.5 years, working through both summers. But then something truly unthinkable happened. My guy lost re-election. My plan was foiled. This meant one thing, and it was not pleasant. I was going to have to be a lawyer. So I joined the Department of Justice, where we sued polluters for violating the Clean Air Act. I have to admit, it was a pretty cool experience. I got to have my Law and Order moment when I stood up in front of a jury in a $4.5 billion case and declared, "I'm Danielle Rosengarten on behalf of the United States of America." It was cool. I felt like change was imminent, like the work would pay off, like we were really going to stick it to the polluters. But we got absolutely creamed. We were completely out-lawyered. We took what Obama would call a major shellacking. I realized right then and there that this one smokestack at a time thing was absurd. Who had the time? We had a major problem to solve, and litigating one case at a time, which took 20 years to bring to trial, just was not the pace of progress I had in mind. So I went back to the Hill to work for my senator, Joe Lieberman. For 2.5 years, we worked on a climate change bill with Senator Kerry and Senator Graham. It was hard and fun and important and urgent. We brought together groups that had never considered supporting a climate change effort before. We built an unlikely alliance. We had momentum, but eventually it all fell apart. The weight of the world was on my shoulders, and I'd fallen to my knees. So there I was, a decade into my career as a climate crusader, with nothing but a long string of failures to show for the effort. So I decided to take control of the pace of progress I was making, and on Earth Day of 2013, exactly 6 years ago today, I did the only logical thing a failed government lawyer slash policy wonk could do in such circumstances. I opened a grocery store. In fairness, I was quite literally put on this planet to do exactly that. I'm a fourth-generation grocer. My dad, Glenn Rosengarten, started a grocery store chain called the Food Emporium, and so did his dad. My mom's dad did too. That one was called Pathmark. This is a tradition that stretches back 100 years on both sides of my family. Over and over and over again, my forefathers introduced a grocery store for their generation. The last two generations really stepped up their game with Pathmark and Food Emporium. They were titans in the field. My dad is in the Grocery Hall of Fame for crying out loud. That is a thing. But the fact is, they sold their stores when I was a kid. I didn't get to grow up in them. I had an entrenched genetic legacy, and I was deeply motivated by my desire to make climate change progress. But let's be clear, I had absolutely no clue what I was doing. I opened Glenn's in DuPont Circle, the DC neighborhood where I'd lived off and on since college, and the premise was simple. I'd make all of the right decisions in advance, so all people needed to do to make progress was come inside and drink a beer or grab a sandwich. Glenn's is a market on a mission, and that mission is to make incremental climate change progress one bite at a time by serving good food from close by. Every single decision we make for the business is made with the environment in mind. We're fully solar powered. We don't generate any food waste. We compost and invite the community to compost with us for free. We don't use paper or plastic bags, only reusables. And almost everything on our shelves is sourced from the states of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. We actively reduce transportation and refrigeration emissions by partnering with producers who treat their land, their animals, and their ingredients with respect. And we also are deeply dedicated to growing small businesses along with our own. In 6 years, we've launched 88 small local food businesses that share our commitment to sustainability. And of those, 52 are owned by women, and 22 were started by people of color. We're creating a community of like-minded makers to displace demand for industrially produced food. We have a very special relationship with those producers. When they quit their jobs to pursue their dream of starting a food business, they took a big risk. And at Glenn's, they heard a very important word for the first time. They heard the word yes. They walk through our doors with their product in their arms, and they know we're their best advocates and their number one fans. We give them prime shelf placement, social media support, advice, and guidance to the extent that they want it. We help with strategic decision making, with lease negotiations, with packaging, with product development. We are truly growing their small businesses along with our own, and we're doing it for a reason. If we can help them get their sea legs and really begin to sell a lot of volume, we can help them bring their costs down as they achieve economies of scale. We can help position them to thrive when they eventually make it onto the shelves of the bigger retailers. And that's exactly the point. Those shelves weren't empty before. They were just filled with less mindfully made stuff. And that's how the tentacles of Glenn's Garden Market extend beyond the four walls of our store. Now, to be clear, our shelves are filled with items that would be at the highest price point in their category elsewhere, because our producers have not yet achieved those economies of scale that they need to drive their costs down. That creates a real price perception problem for us. Folks think the store is too expensive, but what they don't realize is that that's only because we don't have the price offsetting stuff they're used to seeing at the big grocery stores. The mass-produced or generic nonsense that creates the appearance of price diversity. Everything we sell was made mindfully. It's all extraordinary. For that reason, we don't have much price diversity within each category, and that's been a struggle. But it's also an opportunity. I happen to believe it's the responsibility of those who are able to spend money on the things that matter to them. If climate change matters, we need to shop like we care about it, which means choosing food that is responsibly and preferably locally made. When we drive up demand for those foods, we'll necessarily drive prices down. And when we do, those items will become more accessible and therefore, over time, more ubiquitous. We will help those producers achieve the unit economics they need in order to break out of that top of the price category price, to that top of the category price point, and really start to make moves. That's a supply and demand proposition that will have positive implications for our local and regional economies, food systems, and ecosystems. But at Glenn's, we're not just big long-term thinkers. We put our money where, frankly, my mouth is. In honor of our fifth anniversary last year, I founded a business pitch competition called Accelerate Herd DC. The idea was to identify, incubate, and accelerate the next great lady-led sustainable food concept in our region. We put out the call, got 70 applications, and whittled them down to 7 finalists who pitched live at our Earth Day birthday party. We hosted a community tasting and a public pitch event. The winner walked away with media training, radio exposure, strategic consulting, a year-long mentorship with me, and a check for $10,000, which made a very meaningful difference in her ability to grow her business that year. This year, we did it all again. Just this past Saturday, 4 amazing women doing incredible work in the sustainable food space pitched their concepts to a few hundred folks at our Earth Day birthday celebration on Saturday. The winner was a brilliant lady named Lotta Andonian of Eat Chic Chocolates out of Brooklyn, and she'll be on the show next week to tell her story. Our relationships with the entrepreneurs we amplify is symbiotic to the core. We do not take equity. We don't charge slotting fees or take exclusives. We work with them in an honest and authentic way to grow their brands so that they can ultimately achieve regional ubiquity. In the process, we're able to create a delightfully differentiated inventory for our neighbors who have come to know that we're the spot to find the very latest innovations in small batch food. We're able to constantly evolve our product mix, which not only creates excitement and brand loyalty, but it also provides our competitive advantage. We're the place to come to shop your values and connect with your community in a true, deep, and delicious way. There's no denying it. Glenn's Garden Market is a cool idea. People dig it. So far too soon, I gave in to the seemingly relentless question I got daily about what was coming next, and I opened a second grocery store right up the road. Horrible decision. I was completely unprepared to run 2 stores, and my sassy, gritty team just, we couldn't pull it off together. We ended up closing the second store in under 3 years, deciding to make the first our collective obsession. The day we closed the second store, I sat down at my bar for one last local craft beer, I handed over the keys, and then I went straight to the tattoo parlor, where I put the letter R in a place I knew I'd see it often, on the inside of my right wrist. Know what that R stands for? Resilient. On the day of my most public, most expensive, most embarrassing failure, I decided to remind myself forever to just keep going. A lot had changed in those first couple of years as we were learning how to run a grocery store. Tons of companies had come onto the scene to make it easy to feed yourself without making a trip to the market. The grocery delivery companies allow people to build a grocery basket without walking the grocery aisle. The make-your-own meal kits had made it possible to cook dinner without taking a trip to the store. And Whole Foods had been acquired by Amazon, the most prominent product delivery company in the country, maybe the world. So now our top competitor had access to unlimited marketing might and logistics support. As we were learning how to properly order produce and anticipate Memorial Day hot dog demand, the industry was barreling toward a crossroads. And as soon as I had a second to look up, I found we were standing at the intersection of convenience and community. On one hand, you have the big guys who are doubling down on the big national brands that are easy to pack and ship. On the other, you have Glenn's Garden Market fighting hard to position mindful makers to thrive. If we were going to thrive, we needed to innovate ways to drive people through our doors who might rather sit at home on their couches. Glenn's needed to become a truly activated community center. I could clearly see a future where the store became a place where we'd teach each other and learn from each other, where we'd engage and activate around good food, where we'd come together to remind people that you eat with your mouth, not with your mouse. We'd become the antidote to Amazon. And we're doing it too. We're exciting and engaging our neighbors as we make climate change progress together. It's incremental, but undeniable. And we're building our army of like-minded producers, one dedicated and principled maker and neighbor at a time. How do we do it? Events, classes, field trips, tastings, book talks, just about anything you can think of. Every Thursday night, we fire up the grill in our patio and invite our neighbors to a cookout. We pack the beer gardens and send amazing smells wafting down the block, which draws folks through our doors. We grill beef that was fed the spent grain from one of our breweries, and we invite the brewery to join us on the patio, slinging the most full-circle pint and slider you could imagine. We throw a big Halloween party every year called Dogtoberfest, where we host a doggy costume contest, which my dog always wins, and serve beer and German food on the patio. Just before Valentine's Day, we throw a winter warmer to pack the store with red wine and chocolate demos to excite and entice our neighbors headed into the holiday. And in the summer, we throw tons of back-to-back parties over DC Beer Week, which is essentially the Glens Garden Market national holiday, to celebrate the delicious work of the amazing brewers in our area. We host trivia games, lead bike rides, and offer free yoga classes to connect folks with one another. We engage them in the process of making progress with us. We're truly building a community as we make climate change progress, one beer or sandwich or kale salad at a time. So what's the moral of this long and meandering story? That a girl on a mission can't be deterred by a knuckleheaded Congress, an inefficient judicial system, or a congested competitive landscape in food retail. And that you can actually make climate change progress by drinking craft beer, choosing a well-sourced sandwich. And finally, perhaps most importantly, that resilience is everything. If you find that thing you need to fix, that problem that simply must be solved, keep at it. Don't let the setbacks deter you. Keep pursuing the next logical step and take control of the pace of your progress. The steps along the way don't need to seem obvious to anyone else as long as they're logical and authentic to you. And just remember, girls, you can be whatever you want when you grow up, after your federal clerkships. Happy Earth Day, and thanks for listening to Everyday Enviro on Full Service Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.